Amen. Well, let's open our Bibles this morning, please. The book of Genesis. Book of Genesis. Book of beginnings. Genesis chapter 6, please. Verses 14, 15, and 16. Find it. Amen. Let's read it together, shall we? Make thee an ark of gopher wood. Room shalt thou make in the ark, and shalt pitch it within and without with pitch. And this is the fashion which thou shalt make it of. The length of the ark shall be 300 cubits, the breadth of it 50 cubits, and the height of it 30 cubits. A window shalt thou make to the ark, and in a cubit shalt thou finish it above, and the door of the ark shalt thou set in the side thereof, with lower, second, and third stories shalt thou make it. Amen. Let us pray. Father, we thank you this morning that we can open the Word of God. We thank you for the freedom we have in this country. We thank you for the freedom of worship. And all the blessings that you bestow on us each and every day of our life. We pray that you give us hearing ears this morning to your word. We know that the word of God is a spiritual book, and we need your guidance and understanding to understand it. And we'll be sure to give you all the praise and the glory in Jesus' name. And all the people that love God said, amen, amen. And amen. Darkness in the ark. It was dark in that ark. They didn't have the fluorescent lights. They didn't have the chandeliers. They may not have even have had candles, a lot of candles. But it was dark in that ark in more ways than one. And that's symbolic of life at times. We all go through times of darkness, emotional darkness, if not spiritual darkness at times. But darkness is nothing new to the people of God. We're often in the dark to certain things. There are times in our life that we go through situations, even as a believer in God, that we don't understand all the whys. I don't know about you, but I had a father that didn't always stop to explain everything to me. He just wanted me to do certain things, and I found out that I really couldn't make him stop and tell me everything that I really wanted to know about why I should or should not do something. Usually, he usually would come back with, because I said so. And that was usually the end of it. But there are many times that even as God's people, we are in darkness as to what God is doing in our life. But that is the journey of faith. Amen? Faith is not seen. Brother Horton no longer needs faith. He is face to face with reality. We, on the other hand, continue to live by faith, believing what we cannot see. You know, we're living in a culture that says, show me and I'll believe it. But the Christian life is just the opposite. It's believing what we cannot see. Trusting in the Lord. Trusting in His Word. Trusting in himself. And we all know the story of Noah and the ark. And we're fascinated with Noah's obedience. I'm fascinated by the way he just obeyed God and believed what God said about the impending judgment, believed what he said about what he had to do. That was a tremendous project that one family was called upon to do. Imagine building a boat that is longer than a football field. And just with his own family and inviting anyone else to join in and to be saved as well. But I marvel at his obedience. And we all marvel at how Noah and his three sons, think about it, cared for all those animals for over a year on that boat. That's a lot of work. With a capital W. How did Mrs. Noah and three daughter-in-laws feed all those animals along with their family? Without a McDonald's, Quick commercial, we got one now. We're not only the Walmart Baptist Church, we're the McDonald Baptist Church. Right across the street. Don't have to go far. But how did she feed all those animals in the family without a local supermarket? And to keep them clean and the family clean. Don't you think they had some depressing days on that ark? Being on that closed-in situation for over a year. I mean, without pulling their hair out. Don't you think they had some family discussions along the way? If not downright arguments? So, well, they were the most righteous family in the whole world. Yeah, but put yourself in their spot. Sure, I believe at first it was adventurous. An adventure of faith. But I believe that adventure of faith lost its luster after a few weeks or months, don't you? I certainly do. You know, a lot of times the grass always seems greener on the other side of the fence. And Dad used to say, but you still have to cut the grass on the other side of the fence. Why is it that things always seem better for other people? Or it always seems better, you think it might seem better somewhere else? It's because we don't like the situation that we're in, perhaps. But, you know, you can be a college graduate and still not have the character to find what you're looking for. If you have character, you could still be happy in life. Instilling character in young people is so important in every generation to teach them the value of all the things that really count. Being friendly, being sensitive, doing your best. Amen?
Amen?
And on and on and on and on. Instead of raising, you know, brats, let's face it, if we don't do our job, they're going to be a weight and a burden to society. Instead of being a blessing to society. I learned very quickly to never say to my mother and father, I'm bored. I did it once in my childhood life. Just once. And you want to know what happened? I said, Mom, I'm bored. My mistake was saying it in the morning. Because all day long, I was so busy doing things that she told me to do. I had to clean the garage. And you don't know what a garage is like, messy, until you saw our garage when I was growing up. And to a kid, it can be like a really big, big problem. It's a big problem for an adult. Think about a kid. You just try to look busy, you know. And then after that, washing the car. And then washing the dishes. My mother taught me how to wash dishes. We didn't have a dishwasher. This was the dishwasher. She taught me how to dry dishes. She taught me how to put away dishes. She taught me about cleaning the stove after the meal. You know, get all the junk out and the grease. And taught me all that. All because I said, Mom, I'm bored. I never said that again in my whole life, I don't think, in reality, for real. And yet, I hear it all the time on Facebook. Not by kids. Watch what you say, parents. Little eyes are watching you. Little hands, little feet are watching you. Where was I? I forgot. But have you ever wondered what it was like inside the ark for that year? We know about the buildup. We know how that God caused the animals to come to Noah. We know that God caused the animals to get into the ark We know about how he built the ark and how he preached righteousness and the judgment of God, and that the ark was the only place of safety, and he preached the whole time he was building. We know about how him and his family were called weirdos, and how the world scoffed at them and scoffed at the message, and we know all that. But you ever stop to wonder what it was like to live on that boat for over a year in darkness? I mean, this boat is longer than a football field. It's three stories high and it has only one window. 18 inches. A foot and a half. I feel sick already. All the smell of the animals. Most of the time the weather outside was dark and stormy. Without a doubt, it was dark in the ark. Just one window. It was also dark in the ark because of all the people that did not join them, that could have. They had no other loved ones there that were saved. They had no other friends there that were saved. They had no other neighbors that decided to go into that ark. They all had rejected Noah's message, and the message was simply what God told him to say. They all had rejected this message of gloom and doom. I'm sure that many said, Noah, can't you say something positive? Can't you tell us something good and positive? I imagine he said, yeah, the good news is if you help us, you get into this boat, you'll be saved from the judgment of God. There you go, being negative again. I'm sure he was criticized as being too negative. I'm sure he was ridiculed because no one believed that a flood was possible. I'm sure they used their human logic and their limited scientific minds of their time. And so in their eyes, Noah no doubt was a religious fanatic. Let's face it. Like some of you probably, people look at some of you at work or in the neighborhood, that maybe they think you're a little nuts. Well, at least you're screwed on the right bolt, amen? Jesus. They had never seen a flood before. They had never seen rain before, according to the Word of God. And yet today, many scoff at our belief in Christ and our trust in the Word of God, the Bible. And many today say, why do you trust in such an archaic book? Well, we trust in it because it's divine. We trust in it because it's in the inspired Word of God. Amen? All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. All that we know about God is because of this thing called the Bible. Everything we know about God is found in these pages of this book that is indestructible. You cannot destroy it. For every one somebody burns, a Christian will print a million copies. Yes, many today scoff at the things of God. I'd like you to look at 2 Peter chapter 3, please. As you think of that dark ark, I think about many times the way God's people suffer in their life. It's not always a bed of roses, is it? 2 Peter chapter 3 and verses 3 through 9. Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lusts and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. But the heavens and the earth which are now, by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Amen? The fact that Noah's friends and neighbors and loved ones rejected them also added to the darkness of their emotion on that ark for that year. I mean, to think about, to know that outside that ark was chaos and death and destruction and bloated bodies floating everywhere, with never-dying souls eternally lost, I'm sure added to the darkness of the ark. And of course, there's the length of the flood. All that time cooped up inside. Think of the loneliness that they went through as a family. Would you like to be boarded up with your family for a year without ever going outside? You don't need to answer that. I know the answer. Do you think they each got on each other's nerves once in a while? Absolutely. Without a doubt. And this is the best family in the world. Amen? So don't count it a strange thing when similar situations happen in your life. But over, maybe right this morning you're going through a similar thing. But over 1 year they sat in darkness and they thought about a world that had been destroyed and void of life. Day after endless day. Bouncing around on that water with no idea of how long it was going to last. I would think after a year, 8, 9 months, their prayer life increased, don't you? I'm sure they fought over time to that one window who was going to get the next hour to breathe in that fresh air and to pray someplace that didn't stink. Time's up, Noah. It's my turn now. You've been here long enough. Maybe you're going through a similar dark time in your life this morning. Maybe you feel it'll never end. Maybe you feel, I don't know how it's going to turn out. Is there very little light in your life this morning? In your suffering? Or maybe in your physical pain? I'm glad I can say, just hang on, it's not going to last forever. Amen? Amen. This too will come to pass. Because if you are a child of God, you're a child of light, and Jesus is the light of the world. Amen. He knows what you're going through. Not only that, but it may be the very plan of God that you are going through what you are going through, even though you don't understand why. It was dark in the ark for a reason. It was God's design that it was dark. It was God's design that there was only one window. He could have designed many windows. But it was His plan to have just one window for them to share. And Noah found out that one window was all they needed. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 10, please. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Verse number 13. It's a great verse to put to memory. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. Amen? There's no temptation that would enter your heart and mind that God doesn't make a way of escape if you'll take it. You know, that's better than any 10-step program that I know of. Amen? And so, it's hard to imagine that there was just that one window. And how unbearable it must have been at times. But one window is all we need in the trials of life. We have a prayer window, don't we? I can visualize Noah going to that window often and praying and asking God, when is it going to be over? When is this trial going to pass? When are we going to be free from this boat? When will our life start to count again? I can see each member of the family going at different times to that window to go and pray and get some fresh air. You know, it's interesting. According to the Bible, Noah lived 650 years before the flood. He lived 1 year on the ark. And I'm certain that it was the longest year of his life. Did you ever have a trial like that? That was the longest year of your life. Then you can know a little bit about perhaps what Noah went through. When Mrs. Janke had cancer 10 years ago, she went for treatment for almost an entire year. You know, that was the longest year of her life. When cancer comes to visit, your whole life is put on hold. Isn't that right? You just take one day at a time and live one day at a time. And during that year, there were times that we wondered what was going to happen, how it would turn out, would things ever be the same? But you know what? That trial passed. Amen. Linda's been cancer-free now for years. But that year was a long year. Now, I don't compare it to Noah by any means. But everyone at times goes through trials. Every Christian at one time will go through similar situations. But you know, family is the oldest institution that God made. Older than government, family. Older than the church, family. Family is more important than government. Family is more important than church. Family is everything. Amen. Noah got to live another 350 years. After the greatest trial of his life, the worst year of his life. And this morning, if you're going through a trial, it will end. At some point, it will end. Things will get better. You'll look back very soon and say, you know what, I'm glad that that's over. I'm glad I got through it. It did not destroy me, but I got through it. You know, when those trials come, why not use that prayer window while you're in the trial? Amen? Why not take advantage of that window? In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, the Apostle Paul had a trial. Now, he could have stopped serving God and waited for an answer. He could have stopped his faithfulness to God and just complained and just given up mentally. But he didn't. In verse number 7 of 2 Corinthians chapter 12, "And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ might rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake, for when I am weak, then am I strong. Paul said, three times I asked for deliverance. Three times I asked for healing. Three times I asked for my heart's desire, and God said, no, I'll give you grace to go through it. He wanted things different. God said, I'll give you peace to carry on in spite of it. I'll give you grace that you can keep on serving even with this problem. Samuel Gibb, who broke his neck and lives daily with suffering, in his book, Living with Pain, said, Whatever your duties are, you will never find satisfaction by successfully shirking them. The less that you do, the worse you will feel. The worse that you feel, the less you will do. Now, all you need to do is to pick up some shrink book on how to cope with your problems, and you are doomed. You don't need to sit around and wallow in your pain. Today's psychologists offer no more help for hurting people than to give them an excuse to do nothing. Today there are millions of people, now I'm giving you his point of view, so don't write me with your mail, okay? Or don't text me. You can get a lot of trouble texting, amen? Today there are millions of people who have been made mental cripples by discovering that they are sick because of something that they read among the ramblings of a fantasizing expert. They use what they have read as a license to do nothing and as proof of the need for sympathy and preferential treatment. He says, burn the shrink books and read your Bible. Amen. Burn the shrink books and read your Bible.
Amen.
Burn the shrink books and read your Bible.
Amen.
Burn the shrink books and read your Bible.
Amen.
Thank you, that's better. Now, if you're a doctor, please, I know that there's a... There are times when we need them. Amen? But listen, the Bible will energize you and keep you serving, keep you busy. God's grace is sufficient in your pain as well as before or after your pain. If you're unsaved this morning, there is no window of grace for your pain. If you believe that your plight could not be worse, you are wrong. And if you do not like your present discomfort, you will hate hell. It may be dark in your ark right now, but remember, God may have designed that ark with you in mind, but he has also designed an escape window for your temptation, a prayer window for your trials, and a grace window for your tribulations. There may be only one window to lighten your darkness this morning, but thank God there is at least one. And if you're here this morning and you've never accepted the Lord Jesus as your Lord and Savior, oh, listen. He loves you.
Amen.
He proved it. There's nothing more he has to do to prove. Dying on that old rugged cross, with your name and my name on his mind. And he knocks on the door of our heart through circumstances and through the Word of God to make our life better. All we have to do is acknowledge, repent, and accept. And He can make you a new creature in Christ. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we want to thank You for Your love. I thank You, Father, for the Word of God that You've given to this world. I pray, Lord, this morning, first of all, for our people, those that know You. Maybe some are going through a difficult trial in their life. May they be encouraged this morning. May they take that window of prayer and use it to their advantage, Lord, to uplift them and to give them strength and to help them to endure and to be better for it and to not be bitter, but to be better. I pray, Lord, if there be anyone here this morning that still does not know You in a personal way, though they be religious or though they have no religion at all, help them to see that Jesus is the answer. He is alive. And He wants to help them. If they will come by faith and call upon His name, that they can find the answer to what they've been looking for. And someone who's been looking for them all their life, through the various situations in their life, to bring them to a saving knowledge of God. With their heads bowed and eyes closed, as our pianist plays a verse of invitation. Maybe someone this morning say, "Pastor, I am not saved this morning. If I died right now, I'm not 100% sure I'd go to heaven, but I want to be. If there's a way, I certainly want to know. I want to be remembered in prayer. If that's your desire, could I see your hand? Just lift it up high. Anyone at all? Young or old?" How many of you say, "Pastor, there's been a time that I have come to Christ as Savior. I know Him. I believe in Him. I have trusted Him. I can lift my hand as a testimony. Can I see your hands, please? I am saved and I know it." God bless you. Isn't that great to know? It's wonderful to know. Father, I pray for Your will to be done this morning in a special way. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's take our hymn book, please, and stand. Our invitation is open this morning. If you'd like to come and pray for any reason or any purpose, would you come this morning? 185, 185. As we sing, would you come? I hear the Savior say, no better place to come and pray than God's house on God's day. Find in me Thine all in all. Jesus paid it all. First, in a moment, but if God is speaking to your heart this morning, watch us come and excuse yourself from where you're standing and just someone's in your way, just say, excuse me. They'll be glad to move over. You can come and find a place here and pray and talk to the Lord about whatever it is. We don't have to leave the same way we came this morning. Let's sing the last verse.